Dear believer, there is a lesson here for us. A lesson here for us. Not only did the Pharisees cause prejudice against the gospel, but there's a danger that we could. There's a danger that we could. How could we do that? By attitude. By a lack of love. By a lack of grace. By implying that in our lives there's no real difference between the sinner and the saint. And that is perhaps something we don't often think about. What are people's conceptions about Christ? What do they think about church? What do they think about this place of worship? What do they think about the preaching of the gospel? Because their only connection to Christ and the gospel and the church might be you.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Welcome you to our program today, and we are delighted that you have tuned in to listen to us. Yesterday we considered together the first part of the message, Seeking the Saviour. Taken as our text, John's Gospel chapter 3, the well-known passage of Scripture where we find Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, coming to Jesus by night, and the Saviour comes alongside Nicodemus, and he stresses the importance of the Gospel of Christ. The importance to be born again, to experience the new birth, to receive Christ as his Saviour. You see, Nicodemus was like many today. He was a religious man. He had a particular code that he followed. But yet he knew nothing of the salvation of God. Why? Because that salvation is only through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus, not knowing Christ, not knowing who he was, hearing that he was a teacher, he came to him, but he did not understand some of those truths concerning the gospel. And the Saviour instructs Nicodemus, and he says to him, "Ye must be born again." You can be religious, you can have your particular code that you follow, you can even be religious as a Christian, and attend church, and read your Bible, and pray. But yet, if Christ has not worked within your heart, if you have not repented of sin, if you have not experienced the new birth, then you are not a Christian. And so you must bow the knee. You must repent of your sin. You must experience that new birth. And as the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Before we come to the second part of our message, we're going to listen to the hymn, "Above the Throne of Perfect Love," by the Whitfield Choir. May the Lord bless this item in song and his word to our hearts.
Thank you.
You can be religious and still be a sinner. You can have a religious background and a religious way of life and still be a sinner. You can appear to have a religious faith and still be a sinner. I remember my own background. I was saved, as I've mentioned before, converted to Christ at the age of 4. I mentioned this morning in the adult Bible class, the adult Sunday school, when we spoke about the gospel mission that formed our denomination back in Northern Ireland in 1951. My grandmother professed faith at that mission. And so that puts an interesting slant on my life, because from the earliest days of our denomination in Northern Ireland, my family through my grandmother was involved. And then my grandfather, who I never met, and then my mother and my aunt, and then eventually in the 1980s, I came upon the scene. But there's a background and a history in gospel preaching, a background and a history in the denomination that God blessed that led to churches being planted over here in North America. But that couldn't save. Gospel background, a gospel heritage, a blessed heritage. Parents that went through the same Bible college as one day I would go through, couldn't save. Parents that served the Lord, couldn't save. I needed to know Christ as my own Savior. And at the age of 4, I trusted Christ as Savior. I'd attended church. I have vague recollections from early services back in those days. But that's not enough to save. I needed to confess my sins, to turn from my sins, to look to the Savior. Albeit 4 years of age, whatever age you are, that is the same that you need to do, to look to Christ, because that outward religion cannot save. And Nicodemus here, he sought out Christ despite outward religion. He needed something. Something outside of this faith that he had. Something that could save. Oh, that you would turn tonight to the Savior. You would not rest upon outward religion. You would rest upon Christ. And then secondly, I want you to see here that he sought out Christ despite prejudice. He sought out Christ despite prejudice. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was involved in Jewish society. And we find that despite that, he was a man who was dark in sin. But we must also see that he was free from prejudice. And what is prejudice? It's a preconceived opinion that isn't based on reason or actual experience. And we could see a man who comes in amongst us and we think, oh, he's not friendly. And we could say, well, he doesn't look like a nice man. He doesn't even look like he's a Christian. And that's prejudice because of the way he looks or the way he dresses or whatever it might be. He might be the nicest guy in this province. But we're basing our ideas, and we know that. We see that. We look around us and we see individuals and we wonder, we would maybe say, well, he's shifty looking, to use that terminology. There's something not quite right there. Or if we're going to the cash machine and we see certain individuals, we have a preconceived opinion. Watch our back, because I'm not too sure of this person. Or if we're crossing the street and it's late at night and nobody's about and we see individuals, well, why are they there? We have a preconceived idea. Yes, it's good to be careful. But we have a preconceived idea of so many people in society based on how they look, based perhaps on the little we know of them, but we don't actually know them. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees had prejudice toward him based on what he had said, what he had done. They didn't know him fully. They didn't know he was the Son of God. They didn't accept him as the Messiah. They didn't know him the way the disciples would, and they would believe upon him. They had prejudice against him. The Savior appeared. Who was he? Where did he come from? Was he truly of God? And this prejudice led to attacks upon the Savior. It led eventually to the crowd crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Barabbas was released. Christ was crucified because he was hated by the Jewish leaders. But when we come to Nicodemus, This prejudice, this building prejudice against the Savior, he seems to be free of that. He comes to Christ and he says, Rabbi. It's a mark of respect there, teacher, Rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There's something about you. There's something different. You're a teacher from God. He was stopping short, obviously, of the great truth that Christ was the Son of God. But thou art a teacher come from God. He acknowledged that. He was a man who was willing to see what Christ was all about. To judge it for himself. Free from prejudice. Oh, they hated Christ and questioned Christ. He demolished their hypocrisy. He pointed people to himself away from the power of the Pharisees. But this prejudice did not prevent Nicodemus from going to the Savior. Is there prejudice in your heart toward Christ, toward the church, toward the Word of God? When we deal with the Savior, when we deal with spiritual matters, oh, there would be no prejudice. Do you not turn to the Savior and think that there is something wrong here? Because you have a preconceived idea. I know of one individual who had a preconceived idea. He professed Christ in a gospel meeting many, many years ago. But it was a false profession. And when he was led to Christ or raised his hand in an appeal, he thought he was saved. He was totally saved. He went home. He went to bed, he woke up the next day and he felt, there's nothing different. Nothing has changed. I don't feel any different. And he lived his life. 20, 30 years passed by. Many of his family were saved and attended church. And he attended church now and again. But he felt, well, faith. And religion, that's for my wife, that's for my son, that's for the other members of my family. I tried that. It's not for me. There's a preconceived idea that it wasn't for him. But he didn't have the real thing. He didn't have the real thing. And that man needed counseled, and he was prayed over for years and years and years. And he eventually realized that Christ was for him, that he could be saved, he could be redeemed. He opened up his home to a gospel mission. There was a church that wanted to have a gospel mission in his village. But all the halls that they would have hired were unavailable at that time. And he said, you know what? They have a hall. They can erect it. It was a portable hall. They can have my land. They can put it on my land. And the front door of the hall, if this was the front door of the hall, the front door of his home, was before you hit the entrance to our church. Such was the short distance, right beside each other. The gospel mission came and he realized his preconceived ideas were wrong. That Christ was real, that Christ could save, and Christ did save, and his life was changed and his life was transformed. And you could see that. But this idea that, well, he had tried the gospel, but it was a false profession, a false profession. Oh, that you would not lean upon a false profession thinking that there's nothing in Christ. Is there prejudice toward preachers, toward the Word of God? Preconceived notions and ideas that deflect from who Christ truly is. This prejudice didn't take attention away from Christ. It didn't happen with Nicodemus. He went to the Savior. He sought him out. Dear unbeliever, the most important thing you can do in life is to come to Christ, to seek the Savior. Don't let prejudice get between you and the gospel. But dear believer, there is a lesson here for us. A lesson here for us. Not only did the Pharisees cause prejudice against the gospel, but there's a danger that we could. There's a danger that we could. How could we do that? By attitude. By a lack of love. By a lack of grace. By implying that in our lives there's no real difference between the sinner and the saint. And that is perhaps something we don't often think about. What are people's conceptions about Christ? What do they think about church? What do they think about this place of worship? What do they think about the preaching of the gospel? Because their only connection to Christ and the gospel and the church might be you. They're not going to look at the website. They're not going to listen to sermons. They're going to look at you. And they're going to see, well, this person says they're a Christian. And all their preconceived ideas about Christians and Christianity and Christ and the gospel will come from you. What would they think? What would they think? Would they see someone who loves the Savior? Would they see someone, well, yes, they're genuine. They're certainly not perfect, but they're genuine about it. And they love their Savior, and they have a great faith and a great trust in Christ. And they're in the workplace. You should see them work and labor as you glorify God. In other words, is their preconceived idea a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because their only contact is you, and there are people in this world. And their only contact with a Christian, their only contact with the church, is through some individual. And that might be you. Are they forming prejudiced opinions against Christ and the gospel because of hypocrisy? Because of a bad attitude? Oh, that we would examine ourselves, that we would have a good testimony for Christ and be a good witness for Christ. Oh, that the Lord would give us gracious hearts that desire to lovingly testify of Him and to point sinners to Him. Thirdly, here we see that he sought out Christ because God was with him. He sought out Christ because God was with him. This is why he came. He saw there was something different about this man, something he wanted to check out. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. He came to Christ because he believed he came from God. He saw the miracles and he realized no man can do these things unless God sends him, unless God is with him. And the miracles of Christ, what do the miracles do? They point to the Savior. They point to his redemptive work upon Calvary, healing the sick, redeeming us from the disease of sin, making the blind to see, opening the eyes of sinners, raising the dead to life. He is the giver of spiritual life, feeding the 5,000. He's the great provider for his people. But God, he said, was with him. And he sought the Savior because he believed God was with him. But he realized there was much more about Christ than God being with him. He was the Son of God. And that's a vital truth. He sought out the Son of God. And the Savior, the great answer that he gives, he says simply to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Savior here brings out the gospel. And he focuses in upon the need to believe. And to believe upon him. And dear believer, if you want to know how to evangelize and how to witness, look at the Savior and how. In John 3 and John 4, he witnessed. And he brought the attention of Nicodemus to the Savior, or to the Savior himself. And the woman at Samaria, how he spoke to her by that great water that he could give, that she would never thirst again. He pointed these individuals to himself. To himself. And that is the purpose of evangelism, to point individuals to the Savior. He had a great respect for Christ. He recognized there was something about him. And he came to find out more. Oh, tonight, do you recognize something about Christ? Do you have respect for Christ? Do you desire to know more of Christ? Do you desire to seek out the Savior? He is not a mere man. We need to emphasize that. He is not a mere teacher. He is not a mere teacher come from God, as Nicodemus said. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And therefore, there's a great need then for you to seek him out, to meet with him, to know your sins forgiven. The Savior spoke to Nicodemus, verse 14, and he speaks of Calvary. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Savior refers to those serpents in the day of Moses that came into the camp, and how the brazen serpent was lifted up, and if they would look and live, they would be saved, if they were bitten by the serpent. And the Savior says, as Moses did that, that is what the Son of Man, that is what the Savior must do. Be lifted up. It was a type of Christ. He was lifted up upon the cross that men might be saved, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And through all of this, he points Nicodemus to himself. Not a mere man, not a mere teacher, but the Son of God. That Nicodemus must believe upon if he was not to perish, but have everlasting life. And tonight, dear unbeliever, you're to look to the Savior, the one who is lifted up, the one in whom, if you believe, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. You're not to look to a church. You're not to look to a man. You're to look to Christ. And this is the whole emphasis that the Savior brings to Nicodemus, looking to Christ. Looking to the Lamb of God, looking to the one that God sent to be the Savior of the world. Oh, that you would look. You would know the importance of the new birth. Oh, that outward religion and prejudice would not hold you back, but you would see you need Christ. Despite all these things, the Savior, not a mere teacher, not a mere man, but the Savior, the Son of God, is who you need. Dear believer, as we think upon that, we have that great message of the gospel of Christ. Here the Savior is sharing that message about himself. Do you have a desire to share that message? To tell others that they need the Savior? To tell others that, as we see here, that God sent his Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the gospel that we have here is a gospel that we've believed, that we've accepted, that we rejoice in. But it's a gospel that we must share. A gospel that we must share. Oh, if we believe it, let us share it. Let us tell others. Because whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. And over the next number of weeks, as God leads, may he open up this chapter to us, that we would see more about the wonder of the new birth, that we would all believe and know him as our Savior.
Spurgeon devotional is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Let us not sleep as do others. There are many ways of promoting Christian wakefulness. Among the rest, let me strongly advise Christians to converse together concerning the ways of the Lord. Christian and hopeful, as they journeyed toward the celestial city, said to themselves, to prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good discourse. Christian inquired, brother, where shall we begin? And hopeful answered, where God began with us. Then Christian sang this song, when saints do sleepy grow, let them come hither, and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yea, let them learn of them in any wise, thus to keep open their drowsy slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell. Christians who isolate themselves and walk alone are very liable to grow drowsy. Hold Christian company, and you will be kept wakeful by it, and refreshed and encouraged to make quicker progress on the road to heaven. But as you thus take sweet counsel with others in the ways of God, take care that the theme of your converse is the Lord Jesus. Let the eye of faith be constantly looking unto him. Let your heart be full of him. Let your lips speak of his worth. Friend, live near to the cross, and thou wilt not sleep. Labour to impress thyself with a deep sense of the value of the place to which thou art going. If thou rememberest that thou art going to heaven, thou wilt not sleep on the road. If thou thinkest that hell is behind thee, and the devil pursuing thee, thou wilt not loiter. Would the manslayer sleep with the avenger of blood behind him, and the city of refuge before him? Christian, wilt thou sleep whilst the pearly gates are open, the songs of angels waiting for thee to join them, a crown of gold ready for thy brow? Ah, no, in holy fellowship continue to watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. We trust that this devotional, the message today on our program, has been a blessing to you. And this is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we thank you for again joining with us as we consider God's precious word and his truth together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.